Today, we are joined by co-founder Rob Solomon of Demo. Rob, thanks for joining us today.
It's always fun to talk to you.
I have to say, obviously, I'm a big fan of Demo, everything you guys are doing. I think at this point, I have about 250 autopies out in the wild, but remarkable with all the updates you guys are constantly shipping. I feel like you're at every freaking event. I would argue that you might be the most, if, probably are the most dedicated team in DPIN right now. So always a pleasure to be able to talk to you guys.
We feel very dedicated. a lot of respect for other projects too, but yeah, it's certainly all consuming.
For sure, man. And we're going to be touching on a lot, especially some of the new updates that we're seeing with the network, some very exciting things happening. But before we get into all that, we'd love for you to give us your background and the things you did leading up to joining Demo.
Yeah, right. I'll go in reverse chronological. Right before this, I was at Consensus. I was there for 4 years. I got into crypto in 2016, joined them in 2017. And I think when you get into crypto, it says a little bit about what you care about, or at least like paints your approach a little bit. And at the time when I got in, it was when people were starting to kind of have their eyes open to DAOs, identity, voting, supply chains, commerce, like all being revolutionized on chain. I think eras before that were maybe a little bit more digital gold, Bitcoin centric. Eras afterwards have been a little bit more NFT and meme coin centric. So I think you see a lot of that in the design for Demo. And really, you know, I had the chance to leave Consensus to start some other things. And I just never really wanted, I liked Consensus. And I wasn't willing to work on any project that didn't really like live up to those true Web3 ideals. And Demo was the first one where it's like, man, everything about this makes sense. The token, but also the protocol built on blockchain can't really exist without blockchain. It's such a needed, you know, technology where automotive is, you know, converging with self-driving and electrification. So anyway, I'm getting ahead to what Demo does. Before Consensus, I was at Vroom, and that was used cars online. So I didn't think I would get to combine cars and crypto, but here we are. And before that, actually, I was in one of the most interesting jobs you could ever have, which was I was working with Zappos on their Downtown Vegas revitalization. And I was working with Tony Hsieh there. They were doing this whole like decentralized org structure with Holacracy. It's kind of what got me interested in these decentralized systems in the first place. And so I was out in Vegas for 3 years. That's my entire career history to this point.
All right. Well, there's certainly some background there that lines up with what you're doing with Demo between both crypto and being in the automotive industry. And really all of the co-founders with Demo you guys all bring something different to the table, but you all have backgrounds that make sense for this project. I think in a couple of videos I've done covering Demo, I characterized you guys as like the dream team for this project. So it should be no shock to anyone that you all have been able to hit some major milestones. I was looking actually earlier today, you guys just hit 123,000 vehicles connected. I think it was just over 122,000 yesterday. So certainly seeing some growth. I think it's safe to say that the new flagship hardware device is now shipping. So I think we're seeing the proof in that with the numbers, but not just the amount of cars that are connected, but talking about the developer licenses, because I think there's this big misconception about what you all are doing. So a lot of people I talk to in the community, they think that you're basically just connecting vehicles, taking telematics data and selling raw data. but y'all are really building a DPIN network, right? So sure, certainly that's one end of it, building the supply side, if you will, with the connected vehicles. But on the other end, you have developers building useful applications and really helping vehicle owners build a relationship with that data. And seeing the amount of growth on the developer side has been really cool to see. Especially over the last few months since you launched the developer console, which we'll talk about a little bit more in a minute. But I really want to talk about the D2, the next chapter, if you will, in Demo and the rebranding. You guys launched a pretty slick commercial recently. Let me pull that up here. So really, really good job on that, by the way. But it's more than just a visual change, right? So I want to have you speak to some of the other changes that come with this new rebranding, if you will, and D2.
I mean, yeah, to your point about the developer licenses, like we almost have to reintroduce ourselves because early on, like the first version of Demo that we started publicly talking about, and there were versions before that that are also pretty interesting and we'll come back around with the current version of Demo. But the first version we talked about was like, we'll help monetize electric vehicle data. Like we'll help sell your battery data and get you a dividend. And I think a lot of people still think about Demo as a way to monetize data. And it is, but it's really not that. Really, we're closer to, we're building the global API layer for cars. It's like, you know, you can connect to any bank account and any app with Plaid. Well, like you can have a, you know, connect your car to this app with Demo button on anything, whether it's insurance and you just want to get like an insurance quote immediately, like not even type in your VIN and odometer and how much you drive every year and all this stuff, just like log in once and there's your quote. There's a quote from 10,000 different insurance companies and they'll notify you whenever, you know, you get a better one or something like that. If you want to, I mentioned earlier, there was another version of Demo. The first version of Demo actually was a parking garage where you would get out of your car and the sensors in the garage would talk to your car and help it park itself. No matter what kind of car you had from any automaker, right? So there's no shared protocol to develop an app for a car that can read data from the vehicle, send commands back to the vehicle, and charge it money for parking. That's what Demo is building. That's what this developer license is all about. So yes, Demo Mobile is an app for Demo, not the app for Demo. It is an app for Demo where you can log in and see some data and insights for your car, manage your car, see your rewards. But I'm actually personally building a competitor to our own mobile app on web that's going to have a bit more, some like more power user features. I'm just going to build that in my spare time over the holidays. We have people building insurance applications, social applications. Imagine a Pokemon Go style game where you drive around and you know do whatever, right? So you connect your car to these apps. It's always your choice. It's just like with an iPhone where you can download an app and then you can choose to share your photos and Bluetooth and location with it or not. Or just never download the app at all. It's your choice. So you will choose to use these apps and share your data with it and enjoy them. So yeah, we have developers building those apps now. I'm so excited for those to launch. I think it'll really open people's minds to what Demo can be. And it's a huge part of this flywheel. So I think, you know, a lot of people, our goal historically was not as clear as maybe others were, right? Building a decentralized map with HiveMapper or a decentralized cell network with Helium. You can say it in one sentence. It's super clear. Building like an app ecosystem for your car is kind of confusing. It's like, does that mean CarPlay? Like, what do you mean by that? But once they're actually shipping, it's much easier to point to it and say, you know, Apple didn't advertise the app stores. It's coming. They said, hey, there's an app for that. It already exists. Here's an example, right? So we'll start having that. And I think we'll really kind of change people's minds about just how big this can be. These are trillion-dollar industries that we can disrupt.
Yeah. And that's one of the things I love about this project. There's so many different ways that you can go with it. There's so many useful applications that you can build within your ecosystem. And we're seeing some of that and we'll touch on some of those applications. That's interesting. You're building your own application. I'm sure you have a lot of free time these days to do that. But what about the new global accounts and wallet system? So I know part of the goal here is to make it easier for people to connect and kind of remove some of that friction with it being a crypto project.
Yeah, we were, you know, so we always knew this was coming too. Like we talked to our investors, it was, you know, years ago and it's like, well, launch with, you know, log in with MetaMask and your early adopters will be fine with it. You'll have to fix it for mass adoption stage, but at least you can start building the fundamentals and then you can swap out the wallet engine later. And that's, so we knew that was coming. And it was really, you know, it was fortunate that we waited because it was really the developer conversations. Like, you know, when you're talking to smaller developers, when people like me building an app, you can get with anything you want. But when you're talking to a national insurance company, it's not like, you know, add Rainbow Kit to your website. Like they're just not going to do that. They're not going to do almost anything more than just click a button and then enter a password, share your car, and then the pop-up disappears and they're just like good to go forever. So that really guided our requirements for building this. And it was a lot of work. And I think honestly, there are great, I love what Privy's done. I love what Dynamic's done. I love what a lot of the other companies have done, but really kind of what we've built for ourselves is more powerful than people realize. So you'll be able to go to any app built by any developer and safely pop open human readable transactions like share your car, revoke access to your car, transfer tokens, whatever. No nonce blockchain, Euron optimism, whatever. Like none of that. It'll just be the user experience you're used to. And we, you know, we had to build it with these like large enterprises in mind. So we're ready now for the kind of mass adoption stage with this wallet system. And another thing that was happening too, people were getting their wallets hacked. There was like phishing issues in our Discord. People would post a question. They would get inundated with DMs, people trying to like get them to sign some stuff. Like people, you still have a blockchain wallet with Demo, but you control it through account abstraction and we can just provide a lot more protection to users. So that's not happening anymore, which is nice.
That's super exciting. And it is going to enable you to go to that next stage and really get in with, you know, some of these bigger Web2 companies like you mentioned. But that is interesting because I had, you know, thought of it, okay, making a better user experience from the vehicle owner, but it's also going to enable you to have a better experience and get in with some of these people more on the demand side as well. Anything else on D2? Because I want to talk about the move to Base Chain and the Coinbase Learn campaign that you all just launched. That's a huge announcement, obviously. So definitely want to dig in there about that transition. And then as far as like token support, because that's a question I'm seeing a lot across X, Twitter X, whatever you want to call it. So anything you can talk about on that end as well.
Yeah, this is all part of D2, but I mean, D2 really just means like Demo Chapter 2. It's like, it's sort of like with Base with their on-chain summer. It's just like, there's just going to be a lot of announcements and let's just give it a name because it's going to be like a drumbeat. You're just going to, every couple of weeks, it's like something is bigger than the last thing. And we're not even halfway through like all the things that we want to launch and do and announce. So it's, yeah, it's an exciting time. And really D2 just, there was a brand refresh to kick it off to kind of give it an aesthetic and a name. But everything coming after that is pure substance. So yeah, this is all part of it.
Okay, interesting. Well, you know, I did get I'm upset. I got the D2 tattoo, and I didn't even get the token. I'm just kidding.
Did you actually?
I didn't really get the tattoo. Okay. But I saw that announcement in Discord. I'm like, somebody's definitely going to get that tattoo.
But I was surprised how many people were instantly like, "I'm on my way. I'm going to do it." And then I'm glad like one person clearly, because my nightmare was like eight people would come back at the same time. Like I did it. It's like, oh, this guy beat you by 5 minutes. So sorry.
So it worked out. So somebody was a clear winner in that. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. So okay. So the move to Base. So that is, you know, in essence, part of this next chapter. What was the motivation behind that? I know there's a lot of new liquidity moving over to Base right now, and it is definitely a trusted chain, right? So I'm sure that's part of it, but curious what the inspiration was behind the move, and then what kind of doors you expect that to open up for Demo moving forward?
First, let's talk about what would be moving. So with Demo, there's a protocol, and the token's a part of it, but the token kind of like sits inside of it / adjacent to it. And the token is already multi-chain and will continue to be multi-chain. So let's come back to the token in a second. When I talk about the rest of the protocol, what I'm talking about is like, we mint the car identity, the new digital VIN for your vehicle is on-chain. You, the driver, your account is a smart contract on-chain. Your car, the device, which has its own wallet inside of it, and your account form a three-way connection on-chain. And then when you give access to your vehicle, you are signing an on-chain transaction in reference to the developer license, which is also on-chain. So we're very on-chain. And that's not just like to check some fun like crypto box. We're not just like masochists who like to do everything on blockchain. We're truly trying to build this as a protocol. Meaning, what's the difference between a protocol and like a SaaS platform? Like a protocol is like email, where nobody can shut down SMTP. It is a standard way of sending emails. And whether you use Google, Microsoft, Apple, you can participate in this email ecosystem. Twitter, love Twitter, but it's not a protocol because one guy can kick you off of it. It's not like an open system that you can just freely build on. So you have to go through the company. So a SaaS version of Demo would be, like, imagine Apple launched, hey, we'll give every car its own Apple Car ID. And here's our Apple developer kit for cars. And by the way, you can use Apple Pay for your insurance payments and parking meters. By the way, you have to, or else we'll kick you off. And it's 30% fees. And oh, we're launching a competing car now, so we're going to throttle your service down. Like that type of centralized SaaS platform just never work for automotive. We're not doing blockchain because we think consumers really want it that much, or because we love blockchain. We're doing it because enterprises need the kind of neutrality and openness guarantees that only like email and internet have, and that closed SaaS systems don't. So by minting all these things on chain, what we can basically say is, look, we can disappear. Our company could disappear forever. You can still mint these cars on chain till the end of time. Here's the smart contract. You can see the permissions on it. It's all open. And right now we're the only company storing the off-chain data as a node, but in the future you can run your own node and you can store your car's data anywhere. So that's what it is we're doing. At the end of the day, that's what makes the DEMO protocol so special and so interesting to enterprise. We talk to crypto people, they get it. We talk to automotive people, they get it even faster because they understand the needs and the issues and why this hasn't really emerged yet. Most other crypto projects have like a Web2 analog that's already very successful. There isn't one really for what we're doing because what I the version I mentioned earlier is just a non-starter. So that protocol, the protocol for establishing vehicle identity, permission, sharing, all that kind of stuff, that it would be what's moving to Base. And the token is already on Base, Optimism, Polygon, and Ethereum. There are unofficial versions elsewhere. You can wrap it and take it anywhere you want. That's how crypto kind of works. And there will be surely be other chains added in the not too distant future. We hear about Solana all the time. I like Solana. I hold a lot of Sol. I think it's a great place. I think there's a lot of cool projects over there. It doesn't really make sense for us to move the protocol over to Solana. The ethos and the kind of like developer ecosystem there is a little bit different than EVM for a while, but we're building it's easier on EVM. And yeah, I'll get into all the reasons for Base for the protocol in a second, but let's get into that now. So why Base? There's a couple of reasons. We're working with big automotive enterprises and small automotive, like all kinds of more traditional companies. And Coinbase and Base as a brand and as an enterprise have just a lot of tools off-chain and on-chain for enterprise. And they have a brand that they're comfortable with. They have inroads. So it just makes sense to work with a partner that they will find more comfort in. That makes our sales cycle easier rather than harder. They also have a lot of like financial products that Coinbase is kind of uniquely able to build as almost a bank. I mean, they're an exchange, but they're kind of like turning into a bank. And they can, the on-ramping tools, off-ramping tools, custody tools, they're just building so much custom, like, you know, Paymasters to sponsor gas on Base. Like there's just so many things that make it easier to develop there. So those are the two biggest reasons, honestly. I mean, you already kind of touched on it. Big ecosystem, big community, a lot of other projects moving over there. And it's not just about TVL. It's about the fact that Cario is doing car titles on chain on Base. Daylight's doing Deepin Energy on Base. Blackbird's doing, they're not really a Deepin. They're not really called a Deepin, but they kind of are. They're restaurants and you can check into those restaurants and let's mint some food trucks on chain with DEMO and show them on Blackbird, right? So there's a lot of more interoperability when you're in the kind of like OP super chain and Base specifically. That just makes things easier. So those are the biggest things. They also have just a ton of like Optimism and Base just have so many incredible engineers and talent working on it. So you just know it's going to get better over time as well. So those are the four main reasons, the kind of like financial products, the enterprise, you know, inroads, the interoperability and ecosystem, and just like the future outlook of that chain and how much talent there is working on it.
All the points you made gets me excited because you're talking about being able to get in with like bigger enterprises. You know, those are things that I believe you all are going to be really effective in doing that. We've seen some Deepin networks kind of branch into some of these bigger enterprises, but we haven't seen anyone really super successful in that yet. And I think you guys have the opportunity to really be the first. And the fact that you're kind of ahead of the game and moving to Base is pretty cool too. How long, out of curiosity, like how long were you all working on that behind the scenes? Or
so not as long as you think. The idea with us, like we wanted to surface it super early because we're just an incredibly transparent project, and rather than spend resources and time researching how we would actually do this and planning all these things in secret, it just didn't feel right to do that. So the time from thinking, hey, we should do this to announcing was like less than 2 months.
Wow.
And I mean, there was definitely some acknowledgement that something we need to change. I like Polygon a lot. They have incredible tech. They're building really cool stuff with CDK. We're on the Polygon Proof of Stake chain, which is going to convert into a Validium, but it's still not, they're more focused on the ag layer on Polygon CDK and the ZK EVM stuff. So we knew that a migration was going to happen at some point. Just because we were on a, you know, kind of a side chain that didn't necessarily have the same future roadmap that we wanted. So it was always just a matter of which one. And a couple of months ago is really kind of when it became a bit more clear that, hey, Base seems to really be the leader in the space. And it's part of the OP super chain and just so much momentum there. And any problems that exist there can be figured out. So let's signal that and start the research and development there, and hope to do that by the end of 2025.
Love it. Love it. And again, just to reiterate, the token itself, right, is still going to be available on, let's see here, I have the list. You have Ethereum. That's what's supported on Coinbase right now, but Polygon, Optimism, Base. And then it sounds like, from what I've read, maybe Solana next year. I know there's a lot of people that love Solana.
Let me pull this up. This is, no one's seen this. So this is some Deep in Connection exclusive.
Love that.
So don't judge these designs, because our designer is phenomenal. And I modified these a little bit. She'll make these look a lot better. But idea being, in the future, you'll come into here to claim your tokens. You'll be able to specify the, you'll be able to add a wallet. And look, you could pick different networks that you want to, that the wallet could exist on. You pick the one that you want. You enter the address for it, you add it, and now it's part of your address book. So you can put in, I want 16 demo to the Rob's wallet on Base, review, tells you what's going to happen. You hit send, and it just goes there in seconds. So, and that'll be whether it's on, you know, it'll still be very fast. We're going to be using Wormhole's native token transfer to do that. So that'll be hopefully coming. There are a couple of things ahead of it in the roadmap, and some of these things can take longer than expected. So hopefully coming relatively soon. Anyone can do this stuff now. You don't even need to wait for us to do it. And actually, the app that I'm building, one of the reasons I'm building it is because I want to add these advanced features faster. And just the way I'm building it and how kind of low code it is, I'll be able to kind of maybe do things a little bit quicker, but they won't look as nice as the mobile app. So maybe that'll be coming sooner. But you can go to whatever the superbridge.app, I think it is, and migrate to Base if you want. You can migrate to Ethereum using the Polygon bridge. And there's an unofficial way to go to Solana via Wormhole, but the official one is should be coming.
Okay, cool, man. Yeah, I have all my demo tokens are in cold storage, man. I have, I'm keeping them there for safekeeping. One thing, by the way, I do want to touch on as far as the tokens go, kind of related. I mentioned that Coinbase, you know, up to this point has supported the Ethereum version of the demo token. I've had some people in my fleet that accidentally sent their Polygon based token to Coinbase. You can recover that now. So I'll put a link in the show notes below in case someone's made that mistake. You can now recover your assets. So I've had a few people successfully do that. So that's
huge. I wish we could tell people in the app, like, hey, this is a Coinbase address. Don't send it. But we don't know what the Coinbase address is. It kind of changes based on the user. So yeah, I wish we could be more helpful there, but I'm glad that we were able to kind of get that so they're recoverable.
Well, let's talk about the new flagship device.
That one right here.
Oh, you have one there. Okay, great.
Nice and, yeah, very, very compact. It just like feels like a good product in your hand. It looks nice. It feels good. Easy to install. It's just like a good piece of IoT hardware.
It's nice. I mean, it's compact too, because I have a lot of the, you know, auto pies out there, you know, mounting them, you figure out a good route to do it, but having this new nice compact device for one. And then secondly, it does come at a lower price point, $169 there. So that's going to be huge, man, for getting network growth, obviously, especially in certain markets that might be a little bit more, sensitive to price. I think it's going to be really helpful there too. We should also add, if you have a software-enabled device or software-enabled vehicle like a Tesla, you can connect for free still. So, so anyone that has a Tesla, you should already be connected. But you should, if you haven't already, download the app and get connected. But has LTE built in. What can you add about this new hardware? Because it's pretty exciting stuff, man. And it started shipping just in the last couple of weeks, right?
Yeah, it's super easy to get started with. It's only going to get more useful. Like, we're going to continue to add features. So the ability to scan for error codes fell out of the app for a little bit because of some back-end glitch. That's going to be added back. So we'll scan the car for error codes. The data decoding will only get better. And we're going to be adding more and more widgets to the app soon, so you can see more and more stuff. We get a lot of data that we don't necessarily expose to you in the app because we just haven't built the widgets for it. And the widgets that we do have some glitches sometimes. So really, a couple months ago, we decided, look, we're going to make onboarding really smooth. And we focused everything on the getting connected part. And now we've kind of done that. We still have some things to tidy up. And then now all the focus is on how can we make, now that you are connected, really valuable to you in the app. So that's been the focus next. So yeah, buy this device. It'll be the worst it'll ever be. And it's still really good. It'll only get even more interesting, even more, you know, great to use. It's also, I love that this is like a crypto product that everyday people can enjoy. I love Ledger hardware wallets and stuff like that, but that's so you can do more crypto things. This is the thing that you could like put in your mom's car and she'd think, oh, cool. And oh, this is crypto. Interesting. It changes my mind about how this stuff works. I never thought of crypto this way. And so it's a fun product that way. It's kind of unique in that sense. It's got a strong first player mode. A lot of Deepin products, again, fans of most of them. But a lot of them are primarily you install this for tokens and forget about it. It doesn't really benefit you. You were trying to help others. That's been changing, to be fair. A lot of products have like more utility to installing a miner yourself, but this one has a very clear, hey, this benefits you. And eventually in the future, maybe there's not even a token incentive to do it. Maybe the tokens go out now. And then for the people who are here early, and then in the future, you just connect your car or your car comes connected because of all the incredible things it lets you access. So yeah, it's a fun product. And like you mentioned, Teslas can connect without it. Teslas actually should not buy it because the port is hidden behind some trim. For all other cars, it's pretty easy to install. Our website tells you if it's compatible. And then additionally too, a lot of newer cars that have some type of app login, if you have like My BMW or My GMC or something like that, you can log in and connect for free with that as well. But we recommend that you connect both because you'll earn a lot more and you'll just see a lot more data.
A couple other things there. For one, it's like a perfect gift for the holidays. Like seriously, for your family, you know, stocking stuff or whatever, like freaking awesome gift. But you guys have, let's see, 2 years of LTE built in as of right now. Now, one thing I wanted to ask about that, there was a DIP that was up for a vote that got shot down probably a few months ago, I think, that was going to roll the cost of the LTE into the reward structure. So do you foresee potentially another DIP down the road that could look at that again in a different fashion that might get approved?
Yeah, I wish we could be less hand-wavy about what happens after the 2 years because people want to know that. Generally, people are like, oh, 2 years, that's a long time. That's good. That's enough for me to buy it. But yeah, after 2 years, either there will be some subscription to stay connected, or it will just like come out of your rewards, or there will be something built in to the kind of ecosystem for it. What we're doing this year in 2025, if it passes, there's a vote live now, is the foundation will simply cover the costs of the kind of cloud component. So for Teslas and smart cars that cost money to connect, the foundation will cover that monthly cost. We don't have to charge users. There's some cloud costs with the physical devices as well for just like managing the devices that they'll cover. That could extend to LTE in the future. Ideally, there's enough revenue coming in from developers building on Deepin that we can subsidize or completely cover the cost of connection. Still TBD, but at the end of the day, we don't want that to be an obstacle to people joining. We can add so much value to this ecosystem, to drivers and the apps building on them, that why let a small SIM subscription get in the way of that? So we'll try to figure something out for 2026, but anyone who buys one now, 2 years, 2 years covered.
I don't think the data usage is super high either. And it's through, you have to go through, is it Twilio, right? Because you can connect to different networks depending on.
It's not expensive. Yeah. So even if we did charge something for just the SIM alone, it's not bad.
So one other question I have about this new flagship device, because when you're going to the AutoPie, you really were using a third party for all the manufacturing. You didn't really have much control over the manufacturing process. By going with this new flagship model, do you have, I assume you have more control over manufacturing and kind of keeping up with demand. I'm curious how that works in the back end with you guys.
No, I mean, it's kind of similar to the AutoPie, actually. We're working with a third party company called Riptela, You can look them up, and their Plug 5 device looks remarkably similar to this one. The only difference is the secure element. So I mentioned earlier, it has an EVM wallet built into it. So that's the main difference between this and their Plug 5. That's why they're Plug. You don't buy the Plug 5 off of their website trying to connect it to Demo, because it's not compatible. It needs to be the Demo version that we saw on our site for it to work. But the reason we wanted to work with them is they've been around for decades, and they've decoded lots of cars. You know, the way to think about the CAN bus, the port that you plug these into, is you get data out, but it's scrambled. And for a lot of cars, it's standardized. That's why we can't really support before 2008, because before then there was really nothing standardized. And it just kind of comes out as mush, and it's very hard to decode. After that, a lot of things are standard. There's still some variation. So there's still some cars that we can't support. And honestly, with our website, we say a lot of cars aren't supported. They probably are. We just don't know. So we say they're not, because we don't want to give people a bad experience. But your car will probably work with this new device. But we still need to, there are still some more niche codes that we need to decode for more cars. We have some people working on that, that will give you even more obscure and accurate data for it. So, but Riptela as a company has already done so much of that. So for someone who maybe plugged in an autopilot for my car, it was showing the wrong odometer and the wrong fuel level, or it would constantly show 13% as my fuel. Then it would show the right one, then it would go drop back down to 13%, then back to the right one. And it was because the device didn't know how to interpret the signals coming off. The R1 already has that out of the box. We didn't have to do anything for it. So Riptela is a great partner in that sense. They're also a great partner that they can produce a million of these things pretty quickly if they need to. They've been around for a while. They produce a lot of devices, and they can scale.
That's great news, because I think we might start seeing a lot more demand. It's hard to predict. So having a partner that can scale up as you need it is really important, especially you know, in the crypto industry, things can change very quickly. And I'd known that you had to decode the information that you're getting. I had no idea exactly how that worked. I know that over time, you know, certain vehicles that I'm connected to are getting more data over time. So I figured you guys were making improvements. But that's really cool that this new device certainly has more of that information readily available. That's a big win for sure. Moving from the, you know, supply side, if you will, and the connected vehicles, I do want to touch more on the developer console. You know, one of the things I've seen is if you look at the number of developer licenses back in August, when you all launched this new console, you were at about 19. You guys have more than tripled. I think you're up to like 70 developer licenses, at least what's showing on Dune. So that's huge growth there. Love to see that, because that's a critical piece of all of this, right? If not as important as any piece, is getting the apps built, making that data valuable for vehicle owners. So there were some recent changes with, you know, the SDK, some API improvements. Not sure what you can speak about on that end.
Yeah, we're always just trying to make it easier to get started building. So there's, when you think about like developing on any type of platform, right? There's going to be, you're typically going to start off with a more raw experience, whether the, you know, the APIs give you less structured data, there's fewer options. And then a more mature ecosystem is one where there's polished and refined UIs for getting started. There's great documentation. There's lots of like components and plugins, off-the-shelf things that you can just embed and use. You don't have to even build things. APIs that give you different cuts, like that query the data differently and analyze it and tell you just like the output instead of giving you the raw data and making you calculate it. So we're just always adding more things like that. And the great part about it now is we're not really doing it in isolation anymore, where we're just kind of guessing what developers want. We're talking to the developers who are building and hearing what their needs are. Like, what do you need to get unblocked? This? Okay. Then we can build that, and we try to build things that are reusable for others. And so that's been a great experience to get close to the customer. It's so much easier to find product market fit, and I can just kind of tell that our journey, our map of getting to product market fit is so much more clear now. It's almost like we have like turn by turn GPS guidance now, as opposed to before we were just kind of like charting the stars. So it's becoming more clear.
Love that, man. And actually, I want to talk about some of the specific applications that are being built. I want to touch on this one. I think is Nimbler for insurance.
Yeah, I mean, I forget who said it, but they said like, even if AI didn't get any better for the next 10 years, we could spend 10 years just commercializing what we've already got. And there's just so many things in automotive. I think like automotive is maybe one of the most classic examples of just like information asymmetry and not knowing what to do with your car. It's like you sell your car to a dealer, you take the trade-in offer because I don't know, where else would I sell it? Who else? Like, you know, the buyer doesn't know enough about the history of the vehicle, so they don't have to like realistically pay for it. They don't know if it's got some issues with it. Mm-hmm. Insurance, it's like, I had to go through get insurance recently, and for some reason I couldn't get an online quote. I don't know what it is, maybe because I live in New York City, but I couldn't get an online quote. So I had to call like three different, and it's like, it took me all day. It was like half of a Saturday was spent just calling around to three insurance companies. Like, and that's so how competitive is that market? If that's all I can get. And by the way, wildly different pricing. So if AI can help to sift through both on the consumer side, like where should I get my car serviced? What does it need? What should I get? Whatever. When should I sell it? Where should I sell it? But also on the developer side, on the business side, they need to make sense of all this data coming in. They need to underwrite policies. They need to broker the right things, get you to the right stuff, and deal with a lot of data on your end. And by the way, they're dealing with like people inputting their VINs wrong, lying about the odometer, just all kinds of just like silly things. So if we can make that smoother, and remember, these are like hundreds of billions of dollars industries, trillion dollar industries. There's just so much waste. If you can just make them 5% more efficient, we're talking about tens of billions of dollars every year. That just like an efficiency you can eke out that could you know filter back down to Demo. So I think we have one of the biggest like TAMs in the deep end space when you consider it that way.
For sure.
And Nimbler, yeah. So I didn't touch on Nimbler, but Nimbler is an AI insurance use case that helps people find personalized insurance based on their driving data.
Okay, so usage-based insurance. You know, I looked into that quite a bit. It's huge in Europe. It's growing in the U.S. But one thing I do want to touch on, you did touch on this earlier, but this comes up a lot around this insurance topic because people are worried that, oh, if I plug, you know, connect my vehicle to Demo, my data is going to be all over the place. That's not the case. You have to authorize the usage of your data. So, you know, for this insurance situation, being able to get a customized plan in a more efficient way. I mean, you're talking about you just spent half a freaking day, half your Saturday trying to get an insurance plan. That's wild. So I think that's super exciting. And we'll see where that goes. But like you said, it's a massive industry. And that's just one industry. The next one I actually want to talk about is in fleet management. You announced a recent partnership with GoNext.
GoNext is awesome. Look, there is fleet telematics is one of the most obvious things to do with vehicle data, right? Like if you own a car, you're not asking where is my car. Maybe, you know, I park it. I actually use it all the time. It's street sweeping. I forget where I parked my car. You know, where is it in the city? Is it on this block, the next block? I use that all the time. But if you're a fleet, you've got hundreds of cars. You got other people driving them. They've got issues. You don't even know about it. Error code pops up. What is that? I'm not going to take all my cars. It's like you need to be able to kind of remotely diagnose, track, manage, fix like these cars. Fleet telematics is kind of like a non-negotiable thing. People need to have that. And one of the things that's interesting, like one of the key insights with Demo early on was because I mentioned earlier, we were going to be a parking garage app. Then the next thing was we were going to pay people to install a physical device in their EVs so we could track the EV battery data because we were like had been kind of like hired by another company to go get that data and analyze it and we couldn't get it. So we're like, okay, well, let's go get it ourselves. And it was like, why would we build this one-off integration just for ourselves when we could build a platform? It's like, imagine if Uber shipped you a phone to call Ubers with. It's like, no, just give them one good phone that can do everything, right? So a lot of people are used to using telematics apps or insurance apps or whatever, like where they mail you a dongle. It's like cheap, crappy dongle, doesn't work super great. And then you're locked into just that app. So telematics exists, but typically it's a more locked in experience. And quite an expensive experience because you kind of have that vendor lock in. Really, you just need to track where these cars are. You need to know what maintenance needs to be done on them. You know who's driving them. You need to give people permission to it. We can do all that way cheaper by connecting the car one time and making it compatible with everything else and kind of earning money each time it connects to something else rather than only having like the one thing that it does. Fleet is one that we've kind of shied away from a little bit ourselves just because most of our users are individual consumers who have less than 10 cars. But telematics companies are kind of seeing the power of not having to build their own devices, not having to build their own platform, you know, just tap into it to build fleet applications quickly. So GoNext and others are our fleet telematics providers that are building different fleet dashboards for enterprise that can get started quickly with Demo.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this one because I do have some businesses, some fleets that I've connected with AutoPies where, you know, I share the rewards. So I've got a couple of Turo fleets. I also have a shipping company. So they can definitely make use of it because they're paying for fleet tools otherwise, right? And they're not cheap. You know, the people are spending a lot of money on these fleet management tools.
20, 30 bucks a month per car. Yeah. Not expensive. Yeah. And so for a lot of people too, they just like suffer through it. Again, I mentioned like I used to work at Vroom. And so a couple of things I can tell you insider baseball here, we had thousands of cars in the lot. And by the way, dealers don't like own the cars. They finance them through a bank. They call it a floor plan, but think of it as like a massive multi-car car loan. And we're settling tens of millions of dollars when we buy and sell cars. And again, like another thing perfect for being on chain. And I mentioned earlier, we could facilitate payments. We could make that a lot more efficient. But the every month, the bank would come to make sure we still had the cars that they were financing. Cause like you can't underwrite an asset that you no longer own because it's already been sold to a customer. But the way that there's like, again, car sales aren't digital. It's like a paper process thing. And sometimes we would miss that we sold a car or something like that. And they would have to come out and find every single vehicle. It would take 3 days of driving around the lot, like two of our employees, 3 days going around with the bank person every month to just put their hands on every single car, just totally unnecessary, right? So, and like a $30 a month fleet telematics solution does not make sense for a dealership with 1,000 cars. So we're trying to invent our own systems. It's just a mess. Like, why does it need to be that way? These cars should roll off the assembly line connected to Demo. But if they're not, pop in a cheap device and then move it from car to car. We can be a great use case there. Yeah. Anyway, we're on to Royal. I saw that came up. I love that one too.
I didn't mean to throw that up there yet. But yeah, that is, talk about a waste of time for everybody in that situation, right? Having all your vehicle data on chain is going to change so many things too. Being able to have that history there, being able to track everything on chain is going to be huge. Moving forward, it's going to open up so many different doors. And I do want to talk about other ones too, but I do want to talk about Royal. I did put that up a little bit early, but that's a super exciting one. This one is a pretty new partnership, or newly announced at least, for Tesla owners.
Yeah, I like it because it kind of just opens everyone's minds to what Demo is. I think it's a great case study, right? So they look at your charging data for your Tesla. And really, it doesn't have to be Teslas, but Tesla's just the one make that we have fine-grained enough charging data for. The other ones, we're working on it, but we don't have the same degree of charging data for. So far it's only Tesla, but they look at where you've charged your car. They can tell if the carbon offsets for your car have already been sold. And if not, they sell them for you. So your car is, you know, charging with EVs, you're generating carbon offsets, they sell it and they give you just cash back. So when you sign up with Royal now, you first get started, you earn 15 bucks. With your eligible Tesla, and then you earn the rest of it when they actually sell your carbon offset. So it's, when people ask, like, you know, I have a Tesla, I already have the Tesla app, why would I download Demo? It's like, well, Tesla's not going to build, just like Apple doesn't build every app for your iPhone. Sure, like you might not like the competing Notes app that someone else builds compared to Apple's Notes app, but Apple doesn't build dating apps and Pokemon Go and Netflix. Well, I guess they do build their own version of Netflix, but it's not as good. So they don't build every app. And similarly, you know, Tesla doesn't have this like Royal carbon offset app that's built by Tesla. By the way, I have nothing but good things to say about Tesla. They are awesome when it comes to this. They have fully embraced the kind of open ecosystem idea with connected cars and launched their own API platform. So that's why we're able to provide such a good experience to Tesla owners. But my point to Tesla drivers is just like, not everything's going to be in the Tesla app. And so a company like Demo, a project like Demo can help you access new types of experiences. And for developers, and every developer wants to build a Tesla only app. They want to build an app for every car, and Demo makes that easier.
Makes sense. Yeah. And because you guys have a direct API with Tesla, right? I think you made an announcement over the summer. I know. Yep. Recently, at least. That's pretty cool. Are there any other apps specifically or use cases looking forward? You know, things outside of the box, maybe that people aren't thinking about that you see as a huge opportunity?
Here's one thing about let's leave Royal up for a second. That I think is like such a big point people also don't understand about Demo is we're talking to another fleet telematics company that's built for EVs. Mm-hmm. And they want to build on Demo because they want easy access to EVs via API, because like we make that easier. But they also want to build on Demo because it's like, well, we want to offer Royal to our customers. And by nature of it being built also on Demo, like the more things that are built on Demo, the easier it is to integrate these things. So think about what makes Shopify is great on its own, but it's even better because it has a Stripe integration and a QuickBooks integration and an Avalara integration and analytics. And like, it can like integrate all these things. That makes it really, really good, really compelling. So for Demo, right now it's pretty compelling on its own. But man, imagine you're a developer and it's like, all right, I want to build an app for mechanics. And it's like the apps for ordering parts, the apps for looking up service history and all the records of what's ever happened to this vehicle and the insurance apps, they're all built on Demo too. And I can just like get that through the same pipe and it's all open and inexpensive and easy to use. Like you'd be insane not to build your application on Demo. So that's just starting. And this is like the twinkle in the eye of that network effect is one fleet company saying, I like this Royal thing, let's bring it on. And it's going to become such a huge part. We have such like a powerful flywheel that between the token, between the first party utility, between our ability to launch apps through our marketplace and get people's eyes on it, to the interoperability, the ease of use. Like there's just so many things in that flywheel that'll get it really, really going pretty good.
It really is genius. I mean, I think my first vehicle I was connected to was like number 7,000. And seeing where we're at now, right? It kind of liken it in one of my videos to, if you build it, they will come type of deal. As more vehicles get connected to the network, more developers are going to want to come to the ecosystem. You're going to attract more and more on the demand side. And to see that it's happening now, Royal's a great example of that. And then hearing you speak about it, there's just so many different opportunities and ways this can go and so many big industries you all can tap into. I know Alex, and speaking with him, he's like, look, I believe that in 2025, we can be one of the largest revenue producing DPIN networks that exist. And I think 2025 is going to be a big year for that and taking that next step forward. I'm super excited, man. But that does lead me into some of the things that are up for a vote right now. Speaking of 2025, now, I do want to touch on, there's three that are open. So this is the timing is great. I believe the voting is open until December 22nd. So we still have a few more days here.
Till Saturday, I think.
Okay. I'll work to get this thing edited and posted so people can watch this. The first one is DIP 3 Amendment 2. And this is, to update the tokenomics, and really it's going to have an impact on on-chain revenue. So if you could touch on that one.
Yeah. I mentioned earlier kind of how we shifted from, hey, we help sell your data to it's an app platform for developers. And the first version of this was we have baseline issuance, which is a bunch of tokens were just set aside in the beginning as a reward for drivers every week, just to thank them for joining the network. And a lot of people think it's from us selling their data. It's not. This is just promotional tokens set aside to distribute to the people who are really helping to build this thing out by joining early and connecting their car. So that's baseline rewards. And there was this concept of marketplace rewards. So baseline being default, marketplace being as you interact with apps in the ecosystem, as they pay for your attention, as they buy your data, some percentage of that would go back to you. Some percentage of that would be burned as tokens to create demand for the Demo token. And that was really more of a model that was like, all right, well, we don't know how much the data is going to be worth. It's going to be more case by case. So let's just like say a certain percentage of it goes back. But that's not really what we're building anymore. What we're building is by the way, there will still be that use case, and I'll get into that in a second. But what we're building is, you want to build an app, you want to connect to someone's car. Here's a cost per month to do that. And we'll, one person will connect their car to 10, 20, 100 different apps. And each of those apps will be paying a certain amount per month per car times 1.5 billion cars in the world, lots of revenue. So keeping it nice and simple for now. In the future, it'll get a little bit more complicated. I'm sure we'll have different support levels, like, maybe it's $1 to connect to a car and get just a little bit of data. If you want more higher refresh rate, more types of data, it's more. If you want video data, it's more. If you want processed and analyzed video data to know, we're actually talking to a company. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who yet, but they would be doing processed video data where it's like, if you want to search for every time the car encountered a school bus or a pedestrian or whatever, and you wanted to get that video data, you'd be able to and see what the car did, be able to purchase that. Maybe that costs even more. So there will be more complexity added in the future, but the idea is like, just let's make it easier for developers who want to access that car data. I mentioned earlier that the other use case of the data union will still exist, and there are people building and about to launch a data union where you will be able to, as a user, to opt in. That data union will be buying your data, and they'll help monetize it and give you some of that money back. And that's your opt-in. If you don't want to share your data with the data union, you don't have to. They'll be transparent about the terms on which they're reselling your data. It'll probably be aggregate and anonymized, so it's not going to raise your insurance rates. Maybe they're just selling road quality data, traffic data, that kind of stuff. And helping you to make money.
Okay. I didn't even know that there is the possibility of you all accessing like the camera data at some point.
We don't currently, but people got to remember, like, Demo is a protocol. It's a more abstract protocol. It's a way to establish identity, ingest data, serve the data, charge for it, and facilitate data commands in commerce. What that data is, what the objects are, even right now, it's very vehicle oriented. Maybe in the future, you connect your refrigerator to Demo. So really, earlier, I could get on a soapbox for a little bit about building a DPIN specific chain or L1 or anything like that. At the end of the day, there's block space and consensus, and why compete in that commodity market? And then there's smart contracts that form the basis of a protocol for establishing identity and payments and permissions, and ours can be generalized. So we expect many things. Right now, we're starting with cars because we're looking for real product market fit. We don't want to stay too general and build a little bit of something for everybody but nothing good for anybody. We want to build something really good for a select group and then expand from there.
That all makes sense. And I am, by the way, I've already voted in favor of that DIP3. I think anything that can bring more utility to the token, that can bring the revenue on chain, is going to be a really good thing for everyone involved. So I'm very much in favor of that. DIP 6 Amendment 5 is the next one. That's just talking about the budget for 2025. Very important, obviously. You'd mentioned already earlier about, covering the cost of having some of these software connected vehicles. But anything you want to touch on there as far as, the budget looking forward for next year?
Yeah. I mean, we try to be very transparent, more than most, because we think it's helpful. We think it's the right thing to do. We think, projects like ours, where they're on the path to progressive decentralization, you have to kind of like earn that trust and maintain it until the trust is completely trustless. So We try to be very transparent there. At the end of the day, it's an expense budget. So it's what the foundation can spend up to. We expect there to be revenue that comes in to offset some or all of it. And the main things are $4 million for continuing to develop the protocol, market it, support it. Another, I forget how much, 1 point something to sponsor the costs of connecting cars. And again, that's just a way to not pass it on to users just yet. Or ever, but we wanted to punt that down the road another year and not start charging people to, keep their autopies plugged in and or connect to Tesla. And what else is in there? Some administrative stuff. There's one about Demo availability, and that kind of gets at making sure that it's available in different, that the Demo token is available in different tokens, formats, things like that. There are different, folks who have to help with that to make sure that it's always kind of liquid and accessible. So that's a budget for that. But again, this is authorization to spend up to that amount. It's not a guarantee that we'll even spend that amount. I support it. I think it's a smart thing for the project to continue to grow.
I agree. And I am voting in favor of that as well. I mean, you all have gained everyone's trust. I mean, you gained my trust, right? I'm not going to say I'm critical of projects, but I see a red flag. I'm going to at least, ask them about it and get answers. But y'all have continued to ship, as I mentioned earlier, whether it be updates, partnerships. You guys as a team are constantly working. You're very active. And I should mention, y'all extended out token unlocks for the employees. And that's something I haven't seen any other DeepN project do. So that in itself, at that point, I was like, man, these guys are super committed. They're in this for the long run. And I appreciated that. I'm sure most people in the community appreciated that, that know about it. But yeah, man, that was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I'm surprised you even caught that. We never even really announced it because we didn't really know. It felt awkward to be like, hey, big news. We are not selling. But it's, yeah, that's true. I didn't realize people even kind of caught onto that, but they are extended. Originally, we said it was going to be over a year starting in January of this, like upcoming January. Now it's 3 years. So it's going to be, we're definitely in it for the long run. We still have so much to do to really get to the full ecosystem vision that we have. And so, yeah, we're in this for the long haul.
Yeah. It's something I keep an eye on because here's the deal. You know, I'm a big, you know, put your money where your mouth is. It's one thing for a team to say, hey, we're committed long-term, but yeah, all of our tokens unlock at the end of next year in the midst of the bull run. It's a whole different
thing. It's very easy to launch a token that pumps in a cycle and then disappears forever.
Yes.
And so any project that like launches a token where they can come and go and their investors can come and go in the same cycle. We talked to a lot of investors. I'm not going to name names, but like there are a bunch of funds where it's like, we have to be able to sell them this cycle, like within 6 months. And it's like, yeah, that's how you get a project that just goes like this. And then, you know, like that, and you never hear, there's no more updates. And yep. It just kind of disappears and everyone loses money except for the people who were in early. And, you know, some people like that. It's the crypto casino, but we're building a real project here. We're not trying to, that's going to just, you know, stand the test of time and create immense value for the world, be a paradigm shifting technology, sort of like, you know, what OpenAI has done for AI and other companies have come in to do in that space that have just like really kind of put it on a different level. Mm-hmm. That's what we're trying to do for blockchain, not just like come and go in 3 months with a funny token name.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And that's one of the things I like about DeepN. And I try to find the projects that have that mindset because a lot of these projects, I mean, their chart, when you look in a year from now, it's going to look the same as Fartcoin, man. It's going to be up and down. These meme coins are, that's ridiculous. I don't want to talk about that though. Let's get to the next DIP, DIP 10. So that's about the network tokens. Basically making it officially multi-chain. We already talked about that, maybe Solana in the future, but that's essentially what we talked about earlier, right?
Yeah, there was no place in the governance where it was like super clear, like here's all the official tokens and here's the official bridges and whatever. And I was like, oh, this is kind of an oversight. Let's just add that. It's pretty non-controversial. I mean, those tokens like exist on these chains, whether this dip passes or not. This dip just determines whether they're like official tokens or not. And, you know, maybe like if they're not official, then I guess they can't participate in governance. Like your base tokens, if this dip failed, you would not be able to vote with them. If it passes, then you theoretically could vote with them on Snapshot or something like that. But yeah, there's already, I mean, the tokens have been bridged to IOTEX and other places. I'm sure there's demo tokens in all kinds of funny places. They can be moved around pretty easily. That's the beauty of blockchain. You can wrap to anyone can permissionlessly, you know, Satoshi Nakamoto didn't create wrapped BTC or, Coinbase BT, whatever Coinbase is, CBTC, you know, so that's the permissionless nature of it.
I voted in favor of all of these. So I am very much in favor of all three of these DIPs. So for anyone watching, if you haven't voted, still have a couple days left up until Saturday. I'm going to try to get this posted as quickly as possible, but make sure to get your vote in. Again, I'm in favor of all three, but at least now you have a better understanding of what you're voting for. Closing thoughts on moving forward, 2025 goals as far as, you know, network growth, vehicles connected, applications being built, revenue goals. Curious as a team, what you all are looking at moving into next year.
Yeah, I mean, we want 1 million cars connected, and that means, I mean, you can't connect 1 million cars without having at least 1 million ARR. And you connect those cars to 3 apps. That's, you know, 3.5 million ARR. You connect that to 10 apps, that's 10 million ARR. So it's like, we want to get the number of cars connected up. We want to get the number of apps that a car is connected to up. And the way you do that is by helping to launch really great apps that people love to use. there's not going to be like an increased baseline reward for people like Connect. It's not like you earn double the reward for connecting to Demo Mobile and like Demo Mobile too. Like you'll earn your baseline reward for connecting. You'll connect to other apps because they're valuable to you. Like Royal will give you cash back for your carbon offsets, or they'll help you schedule maintenance, or they'll tell you what's wrong with your car and help you schedule, you know, like get cheap ways to fix it or buy new tires, whatever it is. So that'll really be a good sign of true product market fit. Everybody knows that it's pretty easy to create a product market fit with like, people will do things to earn token. We haven't seen too many projects in crypto have kind of a non-investment, non-speculative product market fit. Not saying there's not any. I'm not trying to disparage anything else in crypto. I think there's so many great projects out there, but it's definitely a more elusive level to get to. So I think we'll be just a massive project, lots of revenue, lots of adoption, lots of utility, lots of product market fit in 2025.
I agree. I think you have the team to do it. I think you have the path to do it. You have the manufacturing capacity now to hit those milestones on the new flagship device, and you're doing all the right things on the demand side, making it easier for people to build in the ecosystem and huge market you're moving into. I'm super bullish moving into 2025, looking forward, and the fact that you guys are so committed to the project, man. So I can't say enough how impressed I've been with how you guys continue to push things forward. So, man, I really appreciate the time and you coming on.
Thanks, man. Always good talking to you.
For sure. All right. Take care, man.